proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Welcome, friends. It's so great to have you with us in this program. We know that it takes planning for you to spend this part of your day with us in this program. And we appreciate the effort, and we pray that we will be able to enrich our lives as we look at this topic, especially from God's perspective. His perspective is the one that truly matters. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of the only true and living God. This is what we are told. I don't say this. God says this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." End of quote. The Bible is our life manual. From it we learn the origin of life, how it was established, how God created it, and the purpose that he has given us for this life, that he gifts us so that we can get to know him, get to know his plan, and participate in eternity forever with him if we so choose. Everything that God does has a very specific design and purpose. God never, ever, ever wastes time, words, or efforts. It has a very specific purpose. With humans, there is a distinction because when he created man, this is the only time that he said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." Humans are the only ones that are created to reflect the image of God. What? Is this awesome or what? God replicating his image in us? That is pretty wonderful. But that's the way it is. God chose it to be that way. Even after the global flood that destroyed the earth and everyone in it, except for Noah and his family, we are told, God reiterated the awesomeness of humans that are created in his own image. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, he said, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." End of quote. In this short sentence and phrase, God is telling us there's nothing more precious than life. So you have to guard it. You have to take care of it. Do not be careless in shedding innocent blood, because every person has been created in the image of God. So keeping this in mind, never think of a human being again as being insignificant or unimportant or just a drop in the ocean of humanity. However, history shows us that some people will accomplish outstanding achievements in the grand scheme of things that in some cases will impact the entire world very significantly. And such is the case of the man we are going to talk about in this program. So welcome to the program as we analyze a man and an event in history that was truly a game changer, as we are going to see. Christopher Columbus, hero or scoundrel? I'm Nena Arias. Welcome once again. Every year on October 12th, Columbus Day is celebrated in America, since that is the date Columbus landed here in the New World, on October 12th, 1492. In 1937, it became a national holiday by presidential proclamation. And we have just celebrated 529 years since that momentous event in history. These celebrations included parades, included decorative floats depicting the ships Columbus traveled in, and there were joyous festivities, as is the case in many holidays. Although Columbus's explorations were financed by the Spanish king and queen, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, Columbus was Italian from Genoa, Italy. And over the years, the Italian-Americans began to honor Columbus's contribution to world history, and rightfully so, and mainly his contributions to the Western Hemisphere, they celebrated with festivities. But there has been a major shift in this commemoration, and it's very sad. And I'll tell you as we go along why I think it is sad. The only way that we can truly measure the importance of any event that impacts the world, it has to be as we see the world from God's perspective. He is the one that is guiding history. He is the one that has the master plan for all of creation, everything that we see, and us included. And we're going to see that this important event brought about by the instrumentality of this man, Christopher Columbus, is nothing to frown at or to disparage or to put down in any way. By the 500th anniversary in 1992, there began to circulate discussions relating this event with the conquest of American Indians. And we can see that even back then, already, the wokeness in people began to grow. Some people began to object to celebrating this historical event, and they proposed alternatives, calling it Indigenous Peoples Day. Can you imagine? This shift has morphed into tainting and disparaging Christopher Columbus and making him out to have been a bloodthirsty, genocidal maniac. This is unacceptable, dear friends. There are even outspoken people like this Democrat representative, Nydia Velázquez of New York, who described the Italian explorer as a genocidal maniac. The nerve of this woman. Clearly, she is showing her ignorance of history and what Columbus's achievements truly accomplished in the world. And I'm going to quote her. She said, "Today should just be Indigenous Peoples Day. And yet, this day is still shared with a genocidal maniac. We need to take this time to reflect on the brutal history of violence against Indigenous people in America and recognize that there is still a lot of work to repair this harm." End of quote. This ignorant concept of Indigenous Peoples Day is such a farce and a ridiculous sham. Which Indigenous people are these historical revisionists talking about? What do they have in mind? Is it the Kalinago people who ate roasted human flesh with a particular affinity for the remains of babies and fetuses? That is what history shows. Is it the Aztecs who killed an estimated 84,000 people in 4 days in their consecration of the Great Pyramid of Tenochtitlan? Who made up the lie that indigenous people of the Americas were peace-loving people and tranquil? That's not what history says. History quickly disproves what is being said in regards to Native Americans. If people would only take the time to read Columbus's writings, and especially his personal journal, and judge the man by his own words and not what other people are saying about him, that would quickly dissipate the lies, the myths, and the half-truths of what is being said of this man. Now, don't get me wrong. There's another side to this coin. Am I advocating that he was a perfect man? Not at all. He left a lot to be desired. He was a man with great faults, just like all of us. We all have faults. And if the world could see every detail of each of our lives, we might be judged as scoundrels ourselves. But one thing is for sure, Columbus was not a scoundrel like the leftists claim that he was. Let us put an end to that lie. Again, I repeat, as we look at history, as we look at the world from God's perspective, God chose Columbus for a very, very specific mission in God's plan. I will elaborate in a bit. It is interesting to me how when a lie or distortion of something that is important begins to circulate, it spreads much faster than truth, because people just repeat what they hear without taking the time to corroborate its veracity. And that is how many lives are destroyed and are being destroyed this very moment, even as we speak. Dear friends, a weapon of choice in our generation is character assassination. For the most part, with unproven facts, people's lives are being destroyed. Is it any wonder that God included a commandment that says, do not bear false witness? Don't lie. It is so destructive when people just repeat things that they have not corroborated as being true. And many times, it doesn't only affect the person involved. It affects his family. It affects his job, his profession. It affects future generations that won't be able to live down the lies. And they will be ostracized as soon as those lies come to the forefront again and again and again. This is the case when it comes to the life and monumental achievement of Christopher Columbus. And this is a travesty, because his coming to this side of the world, I repeat, had a very, very specific purpose, important purpose in God's plan. The coming of Columbus was ordained by God. You read that right. It was all in God's plan. Why? Because we know that America had been discovered over and over and over again before Columbus. History shows this. So what was the difference with Columbus? Why did God allow Columbus to make the impact that others had not made? What was different about him? The reason is because God wanted the Western Hemisphere to be introduced to the gospel. That's right. America, like all others, has had a history in terms of the faith of its discoverers, because people live what they believe. And faulty as Columbus was, he introduced the God of the Bible in these lands. Think about it. Christianity initiated or started in the Middle East, and it spread to the surrounding countries. But it had not crossed the ocean up to that point, really, to such degree that the Western Hemisphere worshipped pagan gods, as we just mentioned. Gods that required human sacrifice. Read about the history of these Aztecs, of these original Indian civilizations. Indians, as we call them, indigenous people. Read their history. It is atrocious. Now, do you think that God only cared about the East and made provisions so that all those countries could know about his plan of salvation and not the Western Hemisphere? Dear friends, the world is God's and God's alone. Every single human being is God's creation. God wanted the Western Hemisphere to learn about his plan of salvation, for people to know about the God of the Bible. Was God not concerned about the hundreds and thousands of humans that were being sacrificed here in the Western Hemisphere, all in the worship of their pagan gods? Remember, always keep in mind, for God so loved the world, the entire world, and by sending Christopher Columbus over to this side of the world, God was ready to introduce himself to the Western Hemisphere. And that is why we say that Columbus's coming was ordained by God. Because history shows that America had been discovered over and over and over again before Columbus arrived. It shows that Vikings like Leif Erikson and other explorers came to the Americas long before Columbus, around the year 1000. We know that they went from Greenland over to Canada and then over to what is now New England. A Harvard professor of long ago by the name of Leo Viner, an American historian, a linguist, and translator, wrote a 3-volume study on early discovery. He concluded that in the early centuries of the Christian era, Arab explorers traveled westward and almost certainly discovered America. Because as a linguist, he discovered many Arab words in the American Indians' language, such as the Iroquois. This is also evidence that explorers from the Orient came to the west coast of North and South America. A scholar even claims that in the days of King Solomon, the Phoenicians and Hebrews discovered Mexico and Peru and began to mine silver there. There's evidence of others that crossed the Atlantic to this side of the world. But why was nothing significant done until Columbus came? Have you ever wondered that? What made the difference? It is obvious that these early explorers were not interested in the development of a new continent. They were mostly raiders who came to plunder the native inhabitants. They came to plunder this land and see what they could take back with them, but they were not interested in developing this new continent. So God was not interested in using them. They were not working according to God's design or God's plans. And again, we have to mention that everything that God allows, everything that God does, has a purpose, a very specific purpose for his master plan. And it is always pointing back to spiritual matters, always. Because God is interested in the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever includes everyone, whosoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did these barbarous indigenous people not deserve to learn about the God of the Bible, the plan of salvation? They certainly did in God's book. And this is what happened when Columbus came to this part of the world. I'm not inventing this. Columbus's motives were different. Of course, he was concerned and curious about what was on this side. Don't get me wrong. Was it commerce that motivated him and his sponsors? I'm sure there was some of that. People don't do something for nothing, so it's not far-fetched that that was part of the motivation. But Columbus also had a very powerful motive that God wanted to use for his purposes. So with all his faults, and he had faults, Columbus was clearly in the Christian camp. And that set him apart from the other explorers that had come here before him. And I'm going to read you something that he wrote to Ferdinand and Isabella regarding the newfound land. And I quote, "I say that your highnesses must not allow any foreigners, except Catholic Christians, to trade here or set foot here. For the whole object of the enterprise was that it should be for the increase and glory of the Christian religion, and that no one should come to these parts who is not a good Christian." End of quote. These are Columbus's words, dear friends. Did you catch that part where he says, "For the whole object of the enterprise"? The whole object of the enterprise is that it should be for the increase and glory of the Christian religion. There you have it. That was his main objective. And he said, if this is going to work, we must be very careful that no one should come to these parts if they're not going to promote Christianity, if they're not good Christians. That is very clear. Conquest and economy did play a part, but behind that was a Christian motive that clearly God wanted to use. Clearly God wanted to use. Columbus wanted to evangelize, and we read it in his own words. Columbus wrote repeatedly that he was called of God to open up the world for the gospel. This was a calling that he felt upon his life, something given to him by God. And you can see this in his personal journal. You can get a copy of it. You can read it online. So you see, dear friends, disparaging Christopher Columbus and calling him or tagging him or labeling him a scoundrel, someone who was only out for himself, who was bloodthirsty and cruelly treated the native inhabitants of this place, is false. As a matter of fact, he executed some who were part of his crew for treating the natives in a cruel manner. He killed them. He didn't want the native people mistreated. So you see how terrible it is to disparage the character of this man just because he had faults. Primarily, in his own words, he wanted people to know about God. But those who hate God and the original design of America, which are many at this time, they have expunged all this information from authentic history, and they have revised it to fit their godless agenda. So we can deduct from their actions that really their fight is against God. Do you want to be a part of people who are against God? There are some who will say yes, but the majority of us do not want to fight God. We know better. We know better. Inside of us, we know that God is the creator of the universe and of our lives, that he is the sustainer of life. And without him, we cannot exist. So back to history. Some of the Spanish conquistadors who came to the Americas over the next century, they were cruel. But it's unfair to blame Columbus for that, for the very actions that he tried to prevent. And as I mentioned, Columbus executed some of his own crew for acts of cruelty toward the natives. I hope this changes your perspective on this man. And having heard this, I hope you take the time to know the real Christopher Columbus and stop disparaging him in such an unjust way. Decide for yourself to be a part of truth and not deception. You have your homework. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.